Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy hallowed presence and thank thee, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. We thank thee for the privilege of being at this convention. We thank thee, O Lord, for the Spirit of truth. We thank thee for the sacrifice of thy Son. And now we pray that thou will be in our midst and that to bless, that thou will open our hearts and minds, make us receptive and humble, and able to receive the lesson from thy servant. Bless our dear brother Morehouse, the message that he will give. Forgive us for our many sins, failures, and shortcomings. Watch over thy people and the work as it goes forth. And may thy kingdom soon come, and bless all the families of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name.
Well, he disputed amongst themselves as to who should be the greatest. And he's telling them all about his death.
Now, friends, we come to a very important part of our convention, the convention which deals with our convention theme text, which is the one directly over our heads here. We are ambassadors for Christ. And I'm sure that we would all agree that there is none whom we'd rather hear give us this discourse than our speaker. I'm very happy to present to you our dear brother, D.J. Morehouse of Chicago, Illinois.
Brother Morehouse. Regard the nation by the book of a bucket and counted a small book of a balance, who takes up the aisle for very little things.
Our theme text, which is the keynote of the convention, is up on the wall in back of me. Suppose each one of us stop now and take the time to write that text on the walls of our mind. And when we get home, if someone will say, what did they talk about at the convention? What thoughts were brought out? You'll see that text. We are ambassadors for Christ. This text is found in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How can we be good ambassadors for Christ? To answer this question, I'm going to reach down into the memory of my past experience, and I recall a large general convention over 50 years ago. We had a special meeting for the colporteurs and those who wanted to become colporteurs. And I remember the theme thought of one of the speakers. He said, if you want to go out into the colporteur work and make a success of it, you must sell the truth to yourself before you can sell it to others. By selling the truth, he meant convincing someone that it is really the truth and that a Christian should fully accept it and should get fully behind it. You must be sold in your own mind on the idea that this is the truth. And so he said, put yourself in a corner and ask yourself some hard, searching questions. When you go out in this cult porter work, are you just an ordinary book agent? No, the books which you are placing into the hands of the people, the scripture studies, are God's plan of the ages. Earthly ambassadors have their credentials from their home government that they are duly authorized representatives. Have you the witness of the Spirit that you are a probationary member of the body of Christ? Are you fully convinced that you are an ambassador for Christ? That God has called you to this high calling, has accepted you to this consecration, and that it is your privilege to represent God in preaching this truth. And then the speaker says you will find yourself humming that hymn number 114. I love thy will, O God, it glorifies my common task. You're going out from house to house in the cult to work will not be a common task of being a book agent. It'll make you an ambassador of Christ, preaching His message. And then you will think of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever soever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And then you will go out in this work to the glory of God. And then when you go to a door and start giving your message, you will say to yourselves, I am doing this witness with the witnessing with the object of bringing glory to God. I am here as a representative of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And throughout the many years that I've been in the truth, I've always remembered that thought. No matter in what field of service we go, whether we go out as volunteers, putting out tracts from house to house, we are not bill peddlers. We are ambassadors of God. The message that we are putting out is the harvest message. It's the truth. In our work of witnessing to our neighbors, in our collective work, in supporting the radio work, the television work, in our work as elders and deacons, in our local ecclesias, when we go to the study meetings and we answer the questions, we always bear in mind we are ambassadors of God. He has called us. He has given us this truth. And I don't think that there is any time when that conviction that we have the truth and that we are ambassadors of the Lord comes home to us so strongly as when we're at a funeral of one of the Lord's faithful ones and we are preaching the funeral message. And we can say, now, what did this sister believe? What were her hopes, her ambitions, her joys? Why did she believe these? Why was this message such an anchor to her soul? And we are so pleased to know that the truth is the truth. And so to us who have this truth, who have the 6 volumes of scripture studies and the tabernacle shadows and have fully accepted them and are convinced that the Lord used Brother Russell as that servant to give us the meat in due season, and that God has called us and given us this witness of the Spirit, and that we can talk to our Heavenly Father and realize the warmth of His love, His guiding providences over us, and that we are carrying His message. Oh, how much joy and peace that gives to us. Are we to be ambassadors for Christ only when we go to the conventions? I heard the story of a lodge in a small town. On ordinary days, some of the members were very slouchy about their clothes. But on a certain holiday, once a year, they would all spruce up in their uniforms, stand erect and march in the parade. But other days, they were just slouchy in their appearances. This could picture some who could come out for the annual Bible Students Convention. Then they have on their figurative uniforms and openly profess that they are ambassadors of Christ. We do not want to follow that course. We want to attend all the meetings regularly and on every occasion witness for the truth and be ambassadors for Christ all the time. And so in every field of service in which we engage, we want to be fully sold on the truth itself. It will then be a great aid to us in selling it to others, in being ambassadors. The official residence of an ambassador and his suite is called an embassy. If he is an ambassador from the United States, then his embassy is considered U.S. soil, where he is under the protection of his home government. Our embassy is in the antitypical holy of the tabernacle, the spirit-begotten condition, where we're getting light from the golden candlestick, where we're feeding on the precious promises of God's Word, and where we're at the incense altar, crumbling the incense on the fire as it sends up a sweet perfume of obedience to our Heavenly Father. And in this spirit-begotten condition, our embassy, we are on heavenly soil under the protection of our home government, our heavenly government. And we can take that scripture in Romans 8:28. And we feel that all things work together for good. No, it doesn't say we feel. We hope that all things. No, no. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. In times when there is a crisis, an ambassador, an earthly ambassador, must have confidence in the strength of the nation which he represents. And a lesson along this line, we find from one of the most dramatic pictures in the Bible, in Acts 14, 13 and 14. The Israelites were going towards the Red Sea. That was in front of them. A barrier on both sides the mountains. And when they looked back, they could see the Egyptians coming on their chariots drawn by horses, a fast-moving cavalry, so to speak. There was a temptation to be frozen with fear. But Moses said to the people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you in this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall know your peace." And so, as ambassadors, we need not let fear of man interfere with our work. We are to stand still, to think. We have the great God of the universe behind us. He loves us dearly. He cares for us. And we have His promises of support in our work of witnessing for the truth. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. And so, as the March 24th manna puts it, we are to proceed in the Lord's work, witnessing for the truth to the world, witnessing for the truth to the brethren, seeking to carry out God's arrangements and plans and instructions for us. We are to proceed in the Lord's work, the harvest work, as though the entire responsibility rested upon us, but in our hearts are to recognize that the entire responsibility rests with the Lord. How can we proceed in the Lord's work as though the entire responsibility rested upon us? One way is by cooperating with the Lord. As it says in Philippians 2:12 and 13, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Second, We cooperate with God in this harvest work by building up a Christ-like character. As it says in 2 Peter 1, 5-7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About 50 years ago, at one of our large conventions, there was a pilgrim brother that gave a famous sermon on these words, if ye do these things. He pointed out first, that was the big if. You want to please the Lord? You want to serve Him? You want to be a good ambassador? If ye do these things. And then he mentioned these things, which we must do. And we thought, what a wonderful sermon. About 3 months afterwards, we learned that brother had turned his back on the truth and gone out into the world. It was a great anti-climax for us. And we thought, it is not a question of what we tell others to do, but what we do ourselves that's going to determine our eternal welfare. Next, while we must seek to have our hearts filled with the Holy Spirit, let us remember that we can have heart perfection, but we cannot have flesh perfection. We are to keep our body under control as far as possible. We're given the robe of Christ's righteousness to cover our unavoidable weaknesses, but we can get spots on the robe. The spots are avoidable weaknesses due to carelessness and indifference. We must then come to the Lord to ask Him to forgive us. But we are to try to keep our flesh unspotted, but in our hearts to develop the perfection of love. There is one scripture very well along this line when it says, he that bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is vain. And then the other text, the tongue can no man tame. Now, overcoming is not taming the tongue. It's not getting flesh perfection. But overcoming is putting a bridle on that tongue to keep it under control. And so we should seek as far as possible to keep the flesh right. But we cannot do perfectly. But in our hearts there must be that character of love. This is necessary to be a good ambassador. Another way that we can brand ourselves as good Christians is to let everyone know that we come in contact, that we are trying to be Christians, that we preach the truth on every occasion that we can, at home, at work, and at the meetings. Then we should look for opportunities of service. You know, an ostrich can stick its head in the ground and then it can't see what's going around. It hopes that way to not have any enemies. But dear friends, we are not to do that. We see our enemies, but we call on the Lord for grace to help to overcome. I remember when I was the boy, we had blacksmiths in those days, and they would have the big anvils, and the man would be working with his foot to get the bellows going to drive the air into the furnace. And if he had a horseshoe to hammer in shape, that blacksmith didn't say, well, the iron is cold, it won't give way to the hammer, I'll just wait for it to get hot. No, he picked up that iron with his tongs, he put it into the furnace, and he worked the bellows. He got the iron hot himself. And so if we're good ambassadors, we will make our opportunities for witnessing for the truth. We'll seek ways and means to serve the Lord. We will not merely wait for the opportunities to come. And then again, a good ambassador takes care of the little opportunities of service as well as the big ones. You remember the story of Elisha in 2 Kings 3:11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Elisha was willing to do the humble work of a servant to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And as a result, his willingness to do that little thing opened up for him 60 years of service as the prophet of the Lord. And so let us take advantage of every opportunity we can. And don't forget this point. In the parable of the talents, there was a one talent servant that didn't use his talent.
And that is exactly what God is going to do for the world, is it not?
What did the Lord do with that one talent? He gave it to the 10 talent servant. And you will find that those who are most active in the Lord's work can always somehow or other find time for one more thing to do for the Lord. The 10 talent servants take on the one other. They don't say, well, I've got 10 already. I don't want the 11th talent. They take it. And the more we are ready to serve, the more opportunities the Lord gives us. Now notice, dear friends, to be good ambassadors, we must give much thought to our share in the harvest work. There are times when we have to learn to play second fiddle. Sometimes when you look at Lawrence Welk on his show on Saturday night, you'll see someone that plays the fiddle, second fiddle or third fiddle, most of the time, but maybe for 20 seconds, he's up there and he plays first fiddle. Then he's lost in the crowd. And so you and I get times when we're asked to speak at a convention or be an elder in the class or preach a funeral sermon or have a chance to witness to some friend. But most of the time, we're not given the big prominent places. We're the second fiddles. So we want to be ready to be play second fiddle whenever the Lord wants us. If we get a chance at first fiddle, we take it, but we don't expect it to last long. We expect to slide back into the second fiddle position again, but we're ready to serve. We're not demanding that we should be only the big shots. We're willing to be the ordinary ones. And brethren, let us learn to see the good points in our brethren. Don't just think of their weak points, but see their good points. And then you'll find it easy to cooperate with them in this work of being being ambassadors. Now we go along further and we notice that an ambassador must continually consult his government to know how to meet the different situations which arise and to correctly express the views of his government. For us, this would mean that we must continually study God's word for instructions and come to him often in prayer. And then when we get his instructions, we must immediately act. You remember when the children of Israel were in front of the Red Sea? The Lord said to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And so when we see what is the Lord's will, we must immediately act upon it. An ambassador serving in a foreign country is like us. We are ambassadors in the world. The world that we deal with have human bodies and human minds. We have spiritual minds, but have a human body as a temporary substitute for the divine body we will have in the resurrection. This gives us experiences foreign to those of the world. The human and sinful tendencies of the flesh present obstacles which the new creature must overcome. This overcoming is an essential part of the training course for our new work in the kingdom. Now we come back to our theme text. Be ye reconciled to God. We are to present this message of reconciliation And we're glad to point out how all died because of Adam, call attention to the ransom sacrifice, and then tell about this wonderful plan of God. And if we see someone hearing the call, seeing the grand hope of being an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ, and considering making a full consecration to the Lord, and considering God's grace to help, we seek to urge them to go on and accept the call. And then we point out to them that this is not enough to be reconciled to God. It makes you a probationary member of the body of Christ. But you have a work of developing a Christ-like character of love, or better stated, submitting yourself to the transforming influence of God's Holy Spirit upon you to be transformed in character. You must go ahead and witness for the truth. You must sacrifice the flesh. You must carry out your consecration. And you must grow in an understanding of the truth. The knowledge of the sin offering, the harvest work, the permission of evil, the mystery of God, the wonderful high calling, and the restitution work. You have the privilege of pointing out to them the need of growing in a correct understanding of the truth, to call their attention to the scripture studies, and in the study meetings as a means of growing in Christian character. Thus they can become ambassadors acceptable to God, pleasing to Him. Now just one more thought in closing. There used to be a saying that the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the grease. But I remember someone telling me in the office the last days I was there, he said that slogan is out of date. With all our modern automation and so easy to replace people, that now at least the slogan reads like this: the wheel that squeaks the loudest is the first one to be replaced. And so the ambassador who complains and finds fault and murmurs, he is the first one to be replaced by one who is glad and willing to serve the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing.
For the appreciation of these words, Heavenly Father, may those be our desire and our prayer unto Thee, that we may be emptied of self.
Thank you, Brother Morehouse, for so beautifully reminding us of those things which we must do if we are to be ambassadors for Christ.
That we may continue the assembling of ourselves together.
May I remind you, once more, friends, of the fact that there is a registration fee of $1 to defray expenses of the convention. This may be deposited in the box at the rear of the hall. Also, in connection with a tracting effort, car volunteers will please give their names to Brother R. Hugelman in the lobby at the rear of this hall and pick up their tracts. Also, all other volunteers, give their names also to Brother Hugelman in the lobby. Now, that's immediately following this session. And then tonight, after supper, all these volunteers will meet in front of the dining hall, where they will be assigned to various drivers and given maps and details. Now, if you wish to take part in this volunteer effort of tracting, either in driving an automobile or being one of the members of the tracting teams, meet Brother Hubelman in the back of this lobby. Perhaps if Brother Hubelman is present, he might stand up so the friends can see what he looks like. Where is Brother Hubelman? He must be in the back of the lobby. All right, friends, let's close this morning session by joining together and singing number 258. Let us sing all the verses. We will rise on the last stanza, and Brother Morehouse will close this morning session with prayer.
dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful privilege of being Thy ambassadors. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we seek to be good ambassadors and to preach Thy word and manifest Thy Spirit and seek and look for opportunities to grow in the fruits and graces of the Spirit. We also ask Thee to bless the food that we're about to partake of, that we may use the strength in Thy service and to Thy name's honor and glory. Bless our fellowship together during the meal, that it may be spiritual food for us also. This we pray of Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We did stop on time.
Right on. Wonderful. That was bad. Enjoyed every moment.